Does anybody remember what did we talk about last Wednesday? Let me see. Nobody remember what we talked about last Wednesday? Yeah.
I'm believing my leg is healed, but I need extra prayer. I'm standing on the Word of God, and I may have just turned it the wrong way today, and I'm not sure what happened, but I have to walk 10 blocks to work and walk back.
Amen.
I refuse to use a crutch.
Amen. Father God, we speak health into these joints right now. In the name of Jesus, every attempt of the enemy to touch this joint and cause her to use crutches, we void it right now. We nullify and we send it back to the pits of hell. We speak to every nerve, every cell, every tissue that has been damaged. In the name of Jesus, be restored. In the name of Jesus, be totally, completely restored. Every ligament, be completely restored in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said that those who wait upon you shall renew their strength. And we believe that Sister Rhea will not only have her strength renewed, but her knees healed, so that she can walk 10 blocks back and forth, 20 blocks back and forth, to work without any problem. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Praise God. So what did we talk about last week? Wow, somebody actually remember.
Well, that was the week before. Last week we talked about I'm hidden in Christ.
There you go. Good mind, sis. Okay. Tuesday morning, I started a program to reprogram people because many of us need to be reprogrammed. Some of us have spent quite an awful time on our TV or the internet on the computer or whatever else, and then our thoughts get twisted. People don't actually know who they are, and because they don't know who they are, they are beat up and tossed out back and forth by the devil. It's a shame to say that the Church of the Living God in the United States today has 59% of its members on depression pills. Why do we have so many people on depression pills? Because they don't know who they are. It's a shame to say that there is more sad people in church than is out there. Now, how can you sell this gospel to an unbeliever when half of us, or more than half of us, are sad? And why is God's people so sad? Because the light of God is not reflecting in them as yet due to a lack of knowledge. Let's start tonight by remembering you that God wants you to be happy.
Amen.
Jeremiah 31:13. God wants you to be happy. I will say it again. Give me the Message Bible, brother. Jeremiah 31:13. God wants you to be happy. Sister June. Tell the lady behind you that God wants her to be happy. Listen to this. Young woman will. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did say what? Young woman will. So reach out to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be happy. Well, he's talking about women. No, he's not. He's talking about everybody. Young men and old men alike will join in. So God wants you to be happy.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm a happy bunch. Rachel, I can't be happy with so many problems in my life. Thank you for your problem. God is saying, I will convert your weeping into laughter. Now, I want you to follow me here. Somebody will weep when they are sick. Isn't that right? When they are in pain. Or when they are afflicted. Or when they lost something very valuable. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, if you are weeping, the opposite of weeping is joy. Isn't that right? God says, I will convert their weeping into laughter. What does that mean? That means if you are weeping because of a sickness, God wants to heal you so you can start laughing. He says, I will lavish comfort in them. I see something that you don't see. How many of you are happily sick and comfortably sick here? Sickness cannot make you happy or comfortable. Is that all right? If God says that he's going to lavish comfort in you, he's going to heal you so much that you're not only going to be happy, you're going to be dancing, you're going to be joining yourself, and you're going to be very comfortable. Because he will bring healing in his wings. He goes on to say that he will invade your grief with joy. My Lord, you're not getting it. You're not getting this. There is no reason for us to have depressed people in the church. Am I talking right?
Yes.
Folks, I'm praying, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. There isn't a problem in your life that Jesus did not nail on the cross. And I praise God that the last words of Jesus were, it is finished. Done deal. I don't have to be sick. Well, doesn't mean you don't get sick. I get sick. But when sickness comes, keep going. Keep going. This body belongs to somebody else. It's not a closet for infirmity. Why? Because I know in who I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to carry it to the end. God wants you to be happy. If you are grieving the loss of a friend, get your act together because they're in heaven. Oh, now they're in hell. You can do nothing anyway. Are you going to make your way down there because your friend went to hell? Come on, get serious. If you are grieving the loss of money, good for you. Don't have to be gambling. That will teach you a lesson. God has much more to give you. I mean, come on, folks. Why is it that we have church people in depression? Come on. The Bible says young women will dance and be happy. Young men and old men will join in. I will convert their weeping into laughter, lavishing comfort, invading their grief with joy. You may see something else, but when I see weeping, comfort, and grief, I associate all of them with healing. This child was not feeling good last night, and he was crying the whole night. So we had to go lay hands on him, so whatever was bothering him left and he could sleep through the night. People don't cry just because they cry. You cry because something is bothering you. God wants to turn things around. What? Yeah. Do you know the meaning of the word lavish? Abundantly. Without sparing. God wants to heal you without any sparing. Because it is all finished. You know, I was talking to Jesus, and I just got blown away. We were talking about healing, and there is a bunch that are always on the prayer line. Always. So I'm getting tired of praying for them. They are not even members here. Come Tuesday morning, they're always on the prayer line. So as I talked to Jesus about this bunch, the Lord said, the sad part, Paul, there is nothing else that I can do because it is all finished. You know, there is no reason for church people to be sad, depressed. The Bible says, I will turn their mourning into laughter. Folks, God wants you to be happy. When He will convert you weeping, all the pains and aches that you have, He's going to convert into laughter because it's going to be healed. When He promised to lavish comfort in you, it's because all the discomfort of pain and sickness will go away. When He says that He's going to invade you grief, He's not going to ask, grief, may I come in? Lock the door down, get out, and jump in. We just need to get our act together. Somebody says, why? I don't think God can do that. Can He? Absolutely. If you go a little bit up on 31:3, He explains why He would do this to you. It's very simple. It's no brainer. Jeremiah 31:3. Watch this. They met God. What? Say what? They met God out looking for them. Reach your neighbor and say, God is looking out for you. And when God met them, God told them. What did God tell them? Expect. Tell your neighbor, God never quit loving you. And never will. Therefore, if God loves you, you have no business to be in depression. Oh, French, I've been suffering from this illness for so many years. And I'm praying, and getting worse. You don't know who you are. Colossians 3:3. You've been praying for that disease. You don't pray for the disease. You command the disease to go. You know, I will make it easy for you. You go to Applebee's or whatever steakhouse you go. After you finish, have a nice dinner. There's a nice chunk of chocolate cake. Huh? You're ready for dessert. And then come that fly hovering on the top of your cake. Are you going to say, fly, please go away? Is that how you do? So why you have to pray for the sickness to go? You command the sickness to go. Amen. You know what? Sickness is worse than a fly. Let's read it. Your old life, your new life, touch somebody, say, I hope you enjoy your new life. What you're trying to say, preacher? Brother Harry, let's get a little holy here. Give me the King James or the New King James, one of the two. For you and your life. Now, how many of you have heard in the newspaper that there's some dead people being afflicted with cancer? Huh? Cancer cannot afflict dead people Because they dead. Isn't that right? The book says that you died. And yet, your life is hidden with Christ and God. I call this a double shield. So it's hard. Come back here. Y'all saw that yesterday. We're going to do it again. Because I'm trying to prove a point to you. While she's like this, you can see her here, right? But when I come here and stand right in front of her, if Tom wants to beat her up, he's going to have to pass through me. Isn't that right? Now, Brother Dave, come here, please. Now, look, I want you to come. Look at, stay in front of me. Turn around. Now, if Tom wants to get to her, he has to get through him, through me, and then he get to her. Are you got the picture, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, sis. He says that when you came to Christ, you die for the old life. Now, your new life is hidden, what? With Christ in God. It's a double shield. So before the cancer sticks to you, it has to go through Jesus, and then it has to go through God before it can get to you. My Lord, are y'all not getting this? There's no reason for church people to be sad or depressed, better saying. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. There's no other way around this. Why would the God do this, preacher? Jeremiah 1:12. Why would the God do this, preacher? Jeremiah 1:12. And I'm insane. You're going to find out right now. What does it say? I am ready to perform my word. You know, a Johns Hopkins physician come to me and said, well, preacher, your heart has 5 holes. You don't want you to have that nonsense. I passed out and whatever. They put me in a, how do you call that stuff? Treadmill. Treadmill, right? The thing that keep moving and you walk on the top of it, and I collapsed. So they put me in that machine, take my clothes off, and put a bunch of gel, that yucky stuff, then hook up all those wires, and then I look on the TV. So you know what's that? I said, nope, that's your heart. What a beautiful heart. That's when she said, inhale, exhale, and when I saw this, every time I did that, blood would, she said, that's why you're having the chest pain. I said, okay. I have to cut and put a piece of plastic. I said, never! If God wanted me to have plastic on my chest, I would have got it at birth. She goes on to say, if you don't do that, you're going to die. I said, Doc, if every time a physician say I'm going to die, they would have killed me 10 times. She said, do it again and look. And I did, and the blood was splashing. You know, on the arteries. She said, I got a cut, put a piece of plastic from here to here. I said, it ain't going to happen. She looks at me, you're going to be dead in 90 days. I said, I rebuke that word in the name of Jesus. You did not create me. You cannot put a tag on my life. My wife came here Sunday night, asked Brother John to pray for me. I said, I'm going to stay home. I have to have a talk with Jesus. And I kneeled down. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go home. You know I'm longing to go home. So, I need a hand here. If you don't want me home yet, I need a hand here. See, when it comes to surgery, I'm a chicken. No physician going to cut my skin. You crazy? And I'm on my knees praying. At 7:45, she talks to Pastor John about me. He is praying here, and I'm praying at home. All of a sudden, that cool breeze. You know when you are under a vent like this, and the air conditioning kicks on? And you feel that breeze coming upon you. I felt as I know. I got healed. Thank you, Jesus. That was September 1999. Well, when they go to renew my pilot's license, doctor said, "You can't fly, boy." "What? You can fly? You got heart problems?" "No, I ain't got no heart problem. I'm healed." He hook up a brand new machine. Brand new. First customer to use. And he looks. "There's nothing wrong with your heart, I told you." He called my physician and said, "You wrote on the note that this man has a heart problem." "Yes." "No, he doesn't." "Yes, he does. I'm looking right now and there's nothing wrong with his heart." "Well, your machine's not good." He said, "Brand new. He's the first customer to use it." She still don't believe it. You know what? 10 years later, I am walking at Sam's Club. And I look to her, "Dr. Julia." She look at me. "You're the crazy preacher." Said, "Yes." "You didn't die." I said, "No." Get this. You died. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And before the cancer can get to you, it has to get through Jesus. It has to get through the Father. Then it will get to you. I'll tell you this. There is only one way that the cancer will get to you. If you abandon Jesus Christ. There is only one way that cancer will get to you. If you give up your faith. If you backslide. However you want to put it. Otherwise, John 15:7 has a very interesting word. Watch this. John 15:7. Watch this. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," what happened? So what is he saying? If you are mingling with Jesus on a daily basis, put on the prayer request and God will answer. Are we together here? If you're mingling with Jesus every day, put in the prayer request and God will answer. Can you put that on the NLT, please? Watch this, how crazy to get. "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for a few things." Wow, and? Isn't that something? And why do we still have depressed people in church? It's beyond me. Listen to the Message Bible. Watch this. Is it crazy? Let's read it. "But if you make yourselves..." Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting it. You know, I'm excited. I am excited. Folks, there is no reason for church people to be sad. The reflections of Jesus in you will make you a happy bunch. No wonder Muslims people don't want to come to Jesus. You know, I'm so sick. Really. Watch Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4. Say with me, I'm an expression of the life of Christ. Remember? Let's read it. "When Christ, your real life," remember, "shows up again on this earth, you show up too." You're not getting it. You are a partaker of the life of Christ. Are we together here? You are a partaker the life of Christ. How would you like to come to church on Sunday morning and find this sanctuary full of mud? Would you be excited about it? Would you be excited about coming back? It goes without saying that when you go to church, you expect that the church will be clean. Is that right? Preferably smelling good. Why? Because this is a temple. Isn't that right? It's the house of God. It's where we come to worship the King of Kings. Therefore, when we come to worship, the place is supposed to be clean. It's supposed to be clean actually at all time. Why? Because this is the place where God's glory resides. Am I correct? Brother Harry, put it up there, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's read it. Or didn't you realize that your body is? Did you get the point? Your body is a sacred place. How about the Holy Ghost dwelling in a sacred place full of cancer? Are you with me here? What you're trying to say? You have no reason to be depressed or sad, especially if it has to do with sickness, because your body is a sacred place. Huh? God paid such a high price for you. You are special. Watch this. Give me the New Living Translation here, brother. Watch this. Don't you realize that your body is? What happened? Tell your neighbor, you belong to God. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. There's no place for cancer. Are y'all getting the point here? Let's go to the same 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see, say verse 16. Don't you realize that? So how many of us are a temple of God? Listen, beloved. If sickness is bothering you, take a stand. You belong to God. Your body is a church. Your body is a temple. Your body is the place where the Spirit of God resides. Therefore, sickness has no place to dwell within your body. Are we together here?
Yes.
You know, somebody say, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke. So I can smoke. It is true that the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke. But when you understand that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're going to stop eating burgers. You're going to cook and eat. You're going to stop smoking. You're going to stop shooting drugs. Because your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Therefore, sickness cannot stick around. Yeah, but I'm still sick. You can remain sick. Please enjoy yourself. Or take a stand and understand that God has called you to be happy, not sicky. Are we together here? Brother Harry, we still have one more verse down there, right? 17. Watch this. God will. My Lord. If we would have taken heed of this word, people would stop drinking. People would stop smoking, shooting drugs. It is actually saying that God will destroy. Isn't that right? The preacher is not making up the story here. So what you're saying? It's time for you to change the way that you think about yourself. It's time for you to change the way that you think about your body. Your body. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be happy. God wants to convert your grief. He wants to invade your grief and convert it into joy. Because you are loved by God with an everlasting love. Did you get that? I'm going to wrap up with a very simple word here. Never lose sight of the fact that you are the devil's enemy. You are an enemy of the devil. Did you hear what I said? Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Because Christ reflects in you, you become automatically one of the devil's enemy. What does he say? Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Look for someone for the fire. The only problem we have here is that he looks like a lion, but he is not a lion. There's only one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who was dead and now lives forevermore. Don't lose sight of the fact that when Christ reflects in you, you become the devil's enemy. You are on his hit list, and he's supposed to be in your hit list. Because he knows that God has given you power to tread upon him and all his army. And guess what? Nothing, absolutely nothing, shall cause your harm. Are you sure? Yes. You sure? Yes. 1 John 3:8 makes it clear to anybody who wants to hear, you are the devil enemy. He's supposed to be in your hit list because of your Savior. But when people keep sinning, it shows that they belong to who has been sinning since they began. But the Son of God came. This is why sickness cannot stick to you. Are we together so far? sickness cannot stick to you. But I'm still saying, take a stand. This is who you are. You are the devil's number one enemy. I was so disappointed when I came the first time to the United States and I heard a big preacher in a church with over 1,000 people saying that, well, you know, brothers, the devil is attacking the church. The church is defending itself, but the church still will not be overcome. I said, no! I'm sitting down. I'm about to pull my head. No, it's the other way. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not that the hell is going to attack the church and the church is going to be defending themselves. No, it's the other way. Church will go out and hell cannot stand because your Savior is manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, you are more than conquerors. Therefore, sickness cannot attach itself to you. I'll say it for the last time. God wants you to be happy. Jeremiah 31, 13. I will end reciting this scripture once again with you to see if you can get it. See if I can get it through your head. When the Christ reflects in you, guess what? The whole world will know that you are a happy bunch. Am I preaching to myself here? Let's read it again. Let's go, brother. Well, let's try this first. The young women will dance for joy. The men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourn into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow. Are y'all listening to the scripture? I love the Message Bible. I mean, when I read it, I was on the clouds. Young women will dance and be happy. Young men and old men will join in. Touch somebody, I hope you join in. Huh? I will convert their weeping into laughter, lavishing comfort, invading their grief with joy. I want you to touch them and say, God wants you to be happy. May God help you to understand His word. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the exhortation.